Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening, Melbourne. You're on Joy 94.9 and you're listening to the Kiss My Arts show with Kylan and Amy. How you going, Kylan?
Hello, hello, hello. How are you going, babe?
I'm good, thanks. How's your week been?
Well, it just started, but last weekend was pretty good. I had to say goodbye to a mate, so obviously went out and celebrated with a couple of drinks.
Awesome.
And then took the, because, you know, I moved house.
Yeah, how did that go?
Everything went sweet. I'm loving my new place.
Oh,
so,
fantastic.
Yeah, good. Saw a couple of films, but we'll talk about that later on.
Cool. We have a really, really special night tonight, guys. We have Geordie Lane in the studio with us. Hi, Geordie.
Hi. How you guys going?
Good. How are you, man?
Cool. So Geordie's going to play live in the studio for us tonight, two songs, and we're going to have a chat with him about what he's been doing this week between the Bays Festival, what's coming up next, and his latest album.
Oh, yeah.
First up, though, we're going to listen and we're going to have a bit of a talk with Geordie Lane, find out what's going on in his world.
Yeah, cool. Mm. Well, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Pleasure.
Yeah, it's really special. So, first up, I want to ask you about the festival you're playing at on the weekend between the Bays Festival. Mm. I believe you played at the festival last year and you've been invited back again this year. So can you tell us a bit about what the festival's all about?
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember. If it was last year, then it feels like a while. Because I think it was a couple of years ago. Missed last year, and it was the year before that we played. But the festival is run at a primary school down on the Mornington Peninsula, and I must say it's one of the best primary schools as far as play equipment goes. It's just like
you weren't playing at all, were you? You're on the slippery slide.
No, there's like themed like pirate ships and stuff like that, and all we had was like, I don't know, like just a normal swing at my school. And
oh, look, primary schools have come a long way since our day. They're full on these days.
They're all covered in arsenic and stuff like that.
I'm from the country. We just played in the yard with sheep.
So,
I kid you not.
In New Zealand?
In New Zealand.
Awesome. Yeah. I wasn't just saying that because you said sheep. You did mention that you were from New Zealand off air, so... Just want to point that out.
Thank you, Geordie.
So, the Between the Bays Festival, what's it all about? And do you know any of the other artists that are actually performing this year?
I do. Sorry, I said it was all about play equipment. It's more than that. It's like a family-based festival, okay. And it's really, really great. It's run down there on the Oval at the Penbank School in Murriduck. And they've got a heap of really good artists this year. Mark Seymour, Custard, do you remember that band? Mm. They've reformed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it's officially just for this, so that'll be awesome. I can't remember all the other
the
acts
Ooga
playing.
Ooga
Boogers.
Yep.
And there's a bunch of other acts, and I'm forgetting a couple of really great names right now. But
you can obviously go to the website, which is betweenthebays.org.au, I think. Think.org.
Just Google it.
I'm going to be there at the festival on Saturday, so make sure you tune in next week because I'll be reporting back on that, and obviously Geordie's going to be playing, so we'll be able to chat a bit about that again next week. Cool. What was it like when you were at the festival a few years ago?
It was awesome. I do distinctly remember my guitarist getting way too drunk.
Awesome. Well, probably not awesome, really.
Yeah, no. We don't encourage that. But I remember, it was just one of those trips on the way home where we just had one of those really intense conversations. And then that night, back at a party, he passed out on the front porch of a house, and this girl came up to see if he was all right. And that girl turned out to be his girlfriend 2 years later.
Oh, that is so cute.
So
that's an awesome
go out,
story.
Get very intoxicated, make sure you can't walk, and someone eventually will feel sorry for
is
you.
Is this
and...
your plan for the for this weekend?
or
is there already a lucky lady?
Oh,
we'll save that one for after the break, maybe.
Okay.
Did you want to get things rolling by playing us a song?
Yeah, I can have a go at
have
that.
A go.
What song are you going to sing us then, mate?
I will do. This is the first song off my recent album, Blood Thinner.
Blood Thinner.
And it's a song called Diamond Ring, which I wrote on the aeroplane and in this desert motel room out
which
in California.
Which we will talk about after the song because it's a really, really interesting story. So let's hear this first and then we'll talk more with Jordy Lane about his album.
All right. I'll see if these headphones don't fall off.
They're looking hot.
I've got chewing gum in my mouth too.
Here, give it to me.
Are you serious? I did this gig lately and I did a questionnaire with the audience. I said, who in the audience is okay with taking a piece of chewing gum from someone else's mouth and chewing it? Like, this is a big thing, like in relationships and stuff like that. Are you okay with, you know, handing your ice cream to someone else and letting them lick it? Because I remember for years I was not into that kind of stuff. You know, obviously you got your tongues in each other's mouths and various other places, but no, don't lick my ice cream or don't chew my chewing gum. But I've since got better at sharing food and stuff like that with people. And we had the whole audience at this gig, you know, putting up their hands whether they would give a piece of chewing gum to someone else to chew. And so I took the piece of chewing gum out of my mouth, put it in a little bag, left it on the edge of the stage and said, if anyone wants to quietly come up and get that piece of chewing gum at the end of the show so they're not embarrassed, they can take that home and chew it. And I don't know who took it, but...
I would actually really like to know what people think about this. I think we should get people to text and let us know what you think, whether or not it's okay to share chewing gum once it's already been in your mouth and been chewed. Is it okay to share it with someone
else?
And
if anyone wants to come to the studio, I'll put this in a little bag and we'll give it to them out the front at the end of the show.
Done.
There we go. So I was
there's this chewed up piece of green chewing gum.
That's some piece of wad.
The bench. Oh, jeez. Mm.
Sorry about that. Now, would you like me to play this song?
Oh, let's, yeah, no, sorry, we'd love to hear it.
Okay, here we go. It's a diamond ring.
You hocked your diamond ring on Monday, raised the sun. I left on the first day of spring. Into fall I'd come, here I come. I'm going back, yeah, back in time. Through the night, this
Brilliant stuff, man.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, really, really good.
I was looking at that piece of chewing gum the whole time.
Do you know what I was thinking? I was like, he's looking at the gum, and is he saying chewing time? we have Cameron, who has just texted in saying, evening, guys. Ooh, never share used gum, my humble opinion there. So thanks, Cameron from Clifton Hill on that one.
Oh, look at that.
Right, coming up next, guys, we're going to continue our interview with Geordie. Coming up first, obviously, we have our ads, so stay tuned to hear just a little bit more history about Geordie Lane.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're on the Kiss My Arse show with Kylan and Amy, and, yeah, we've got Geordie Lane here in the studio, and you've just been listening to him perform one of the amazing tracks of his album. I was going to say EP, but you actually have two full-length albums.
Correct.
Called Blood Thinner. Now, let's talk about your albums, because the first of your albums, Sleeping Patterns, was quite a different album to your latest, Blood Thinner, which... Well, how about you describe to us what's different about your second album to the first?
Well, it's definitely the way it all came about was different. The first album was about, trying to get some funding to make an album. So it was all organised, and there was lots of money, and there was lots of producers and engineers and musicians, and it was all done in the city, and it was all pre-planned and organised and had dates worked out, and a lot of other people's input creatively and financially and all of that. So then with this album, it was all kind of a bit of an accident, a bit of a fluke really, because I was on holiday in the USA and went to go stay in this motel room out in the desert, a place called Joshua Tree National Park, and I went and stayed there in this room that one of my favourite singers, Graham Parsons, had died in back in the 70s. And it was a really special experience for me to be there and honestly feel like you're feeling the spirit of this guy there. And it's not only him, it's the whole place out there. You know, if anyone's been to Central Australia or whatever, there's a really special energy when you're out in those kind of open spaces. Mm. So.
In an interview that you've done, you talked that when you went to the Joshua Tree, you said as soon as you got in the room, it felt really spooky and welcoming at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like that. You just felt it straight away. And, maybe if you didn't know the history, maybe that would be different. But whatever it was, I felt really comfortable to, express myself musically. And so I had this guitar that I'd bought with the intention to set it on fire and burn it for Graham. And I did do that, but that last song I played, Diamond Ring, I finished writing that and then took it out to the desert that night and lit it on fire.
Is that the one that's featured in the music video for Not From Around Here?
That's right, although that was actually another guitar that we burned back in Australia. We do have actual footage of it. We did documentary footage, which was just random, a guy doing a movie about an Australian dodgeball team. He was there and he's like, yeah, I want to jump in the car. And so he jumped in with his camera and took all this actual footage, and then these other filmmakers made an actual video clip.
Well, we've got a camera in the studio tonight. I feel like we should burn your guitar.
Well, no, not this one.
Is there a story behind this one? Because it looks like it's had an interesting life.
Yeah, I don't know its exact history. It's got a lot of bumps and dings in it. It's a mini kind of parlor-style guitar. From the 1950s, it's what they would have had as mail order guitars from department stores in the USA.
Yeah.
So it just took a bloody long time to get to me. But that was a really bad joke, by the way. postage jokes. postage is really an annoying thing when it doesn't get there on time. But so this guitar just came about on Facebook. Someone said, I'm directing this at you, Geordie Lane and Henry Waggons. I think you probably know his music too. You know, somebody make me an offer. And so I did, and he brought it round and I fell in love with it. And yeah.
So let's not burn that one.
Yeah. Well, I have a couple of questions for you in regards to one of the tours that you've just done over in New Zealand. But before that, as a kind of segue, in an interview you said that growing up you used to listen to a lot of Crowded House. And one of my questions to you is, if you could cover a Crowded House song, which would it be?
Oh, there's so many. It'd have to be something from Woodface, because that was the album that we had at home.
Nice.
I don't know, the whole bloody thing. Can I say that?
That's an answer. Yeah, why not, man?
But now I'm just thinking of Chocolate Cake. Me and my little sister used to run around the house going, "Mom, can I have another piece of chocolate cake?" Yep.
And
didn't work because we were allergic to dairy.
Oh God, I know how that feels.
We were allergic to everything, so we had to wait a little while before we could eat chocolate cake, but we can now.
And tell us, how was the tour over in New Zealand? Every time I find out something when we have a guest coming in and they've recently been in New Zealand, I always try and get as much information as I possibly can.
Of course.
Being a Kiwi boy.
Yep. Yeah. It was brilliant. First time I'd ever been to New Zealand.
Was it what you expected it to be?
Pretty much.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which was?
Lots of...
pretty girls.
And hills and sheep. Lots of really nice people. I didn't expect that kind of response from the audiences. And, like, we got really great crowds at all the shows. And, you know, I'd never been there before. So I wasn't expecting anything in terms of that. And it was just, beautiful, the scenery. I must say I did a lot of sleeping in the car because we had 14 shows in 15 days.
Yeah.
Starting in Auckland and all the way down to Dunedin and back, including performing on the ferry, sometimes at like 9 a.m. So that was cool, but we got a couple of young 10-year-old screaming girls because... my manager got up and he started performing a Justin Bieber song.
Oh.
So we went down really well on the ferry. and then they ironically started saying, "Oh, please play us an original." So that was really cool too. But it was really great. Can't wait to get back there and
Awesome. I have a question about your Blood Thinner album. Yeah. I read that obviously you recorded it sort of in bits and pieces around the US in the hotel room, in the desert, in a basement, in a garage, and sort of all these different locations around the States. And I believe you recorded a lot of it on a 4-track cassette recorder, which is unheard of these days, really. And not only that, but you used teacups, cardboard boxes, and all sorts of found objects as percussion instruments on the album, which I found really interesting. And I wanted to ask you whether that was, or maybe it wasn't a planned thing, but where that kind of idea came about.
I guess, you know, there's certain things that happen in your life that do plant little seeds in there that you're not conscious of. Like, I didn't think of it when I was doing it. It all just happened. You know, I met this guy in a bar. I had all these songs that I started writing. And he said he had a 4-track cassette machine. I guess I never would have considered that if it hadn't been for albums like Nebraska by Bruce Springsteen, which was a bunch of demos that were done on a, you know, cassette recorder. So that made me kind of realize, you know, it's okay. You know, it gives you validation that you can have a go at that. You know, one of my good friends, Liz Stringer, had also done her last album on a, like, 8-track reel-to-reel tape machine as well, with that same idea, just playing everything herself in a room. And for me, it was just I was out there on my own, didn't really know anyone, and I started wanting to hear a band, and the only way I could do that was by hitting things in the room. So I just started hitting every tabletop and box and putting my fingers around the rim of a wine glass to get a kind of keyboard sound and tuning things so that it'd sound like a bass. And so it all just started happening like that. And it just kind of, you just turn into like a sort of mad scientist in your own little world and get obsessed and totally absorbed in it. And I could only do that being so far away from Melbourne and home and friends, to have that freedom to do it. So yeah, it all just came together, and so it was
because the album has a really real intimate feel about it. Kyle and I were talking about this before you arrived, and it just, I guess, because of the process of how things came about in the album, there's a real sense of kind of personality and immediacy and intimacy, which is and then the fact that it was recorded on this sort of old school four-track cassette recorder is so entirely different to most of the music that's produced today, which is, you know, highly manufactured and somewhat
stupid audio tune or
auto-tune. Well, that's right. Yeah, and your album is just so real and so
refreshing.
Let
me point out, if I had an auto-tuner in that motel room, I would have used it.
Really?
You're not meant to say that.
No, it'd be fun to do songs.
You'd mess
like
around
that
with it and make it sound like a bass
folky,
guitar or something.
A little bit of folky, bluesy
auto-tune. What's up next for your career?
Well, it's been it was a really busy year. Like, I flew back into Australia last June and went straight on tour and haven't stopped since then. And now we're planning, after these shows in the next couple of weeks, to go back to the US. And there's a bunch of music festivals there, South by Southwest in Austin.
And, all the mess there, man. I can't wait to go one day myself, eh?
Yeah?
Yeah.
I saw you clenching your fists.
Yeah!
Well, I'll let you know how it goes. And we're doing a bunch of others, Canadian Music Week in Toronto, festival showcases through a group called Aussie Barbecue, which is an Australian initiative. And so we've got a lot of gigs through March, and then I'll be working with the same guy who co-produced my record and gave me that tape recorder, Tom Biller. And so we'll just be doing the same thing, just jamming on ideas out in the desert, not trying to put too much pressure on it, you know.
Seems to me, from what I've read, that you have a bit of a love affair with America, or at least the West Coast of America. Where does that come from?
I don't know. You know, it's like when you fall in love with someone and you don't know why, you're like, they are completely ugly. They are rude. They are this and that, but I love them. And that's what LA is for me.
And rude.
California. No, I take it back. It's just, on the surface, it seems not so desirable looking and, you know, a bit tough to get around and all these highways and, you know, but it's just got this kind of underbelly of really great energy and, you know, it's about being somewhere different. You know, I've grown up in Melbourne my whole life, so it was about time to find somewhere else. And, you know, it might not be that forever, so we'll see what happens.
Thank you. We'll hear more from Jordy in a second, but first up, we've got some notices from our sponsors.
Yes, we're going to go to our sponsorship ads, and then we're going to come back, hear one more song from Jordy, and then we're going to get into Amy's reviews and then my movie reviews as well to finish off the rest of the hour.
Don't forget, I would love to personally know whether you should share used chewing gum with somebody.
Alrighty, guys, we're going to come back now, and we're going to listen to Jordy Lane play again. We're going to listen to a song off his first album. It's called, or titled, Clearer You'll See.
All right. It's too dark a blue, and the books on your shelf, they beg to be read, and that box of old records may as well be dead. Well, I'll build you a tower so
mighty and tall. You can throw all your stuff in there to hide from us all. And when you know better you'll be. Yeah, when you grow older, the clearer you'll see. Won't turn on, and you're left in the darkness, and your mind starts to race headlong into loneliness, and your heart's on your sleeve. Yeah, but you don't stop for love. Yeah, you're so digging deep, but you never once looked above. Well, I built you a tower so mighty and tall.
So beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight and playing live for us and talking to us about your music.
My pleasure.
Where can our listeners go if they want to find out more information about you or to obviously to buy your music?
Well, they can come to my place, get that piece of chewing gum, and we can form a special
it's
bond.
It's back in the mouth.
By the way, we have another text through from Andrew in South Bank. Questions, but does chewing gum lose its flavour on the bedpost overnight?
No, it can sometimes keep that flavour in there. It just takes a little bit of chewing because obviously when you get it off the bedpost, it goes hard.
Yes.
Then you keep chewing and then it's
flavor's
back.
Right back.
So are they saying you put it on the bedpost on the other person's side of the bed and then they get it in the morning?
That's analysing that question quite a bit there. No.
Yeah, no, people can go, sorry, the question was, where can I find out more? My website, geordielane.com, that's with a J-O-R-D-I-E, and Facebook. I'd really like you to like me. So that's
And we do like you.
What's that? Facebook.com/ Geordie Lane Music.
Cool.
Excellent.
And well, if you get on the website now and click like.
Click like.
Because that's the only way I'll believe you. Unless you take this piece of chewing gum right now.
Alrighty, Geordie Lane will also be performing once again at Between the Bays Festival, February 25th, and also at Spiegel Tent.
Yummy. Oh, give us a go, passing, come on.
Passing the water.
Is she really going to do it?
I think we should auction off this piece of chewing
she's
gum.
She's going to touch it at least. That's pretty weird.
Can you save it till the weekend? Can you chew it all the way through till Saturday? And when I see you on Saturday at Between the Bays, I'm going to take that piece of chewing gum. We're going to see if there's flavour still left in it after, 5 days?
Oh, okay.
And then we'll report back next week and we'll be able to say truly and for sure whether or not the chewing gum actually does keep its flavour.
Okay, I'll put it back in my mouth right now.
There we go. All right, once again, between the Bays Festival, February 25th, and the Spiegel Tent on February 29th. Make sure to take your wads of chewing gum along as well. Alrighty, thank you once again.
It can be a chewing gum swap meet. Yeah, great.
Totally. Thank you once again, Geordie, for coming in. We really do appreciate it.
No worries.
Cool.
You're on the Kiss My Art Show with Kylan and Amy, and sadly no longer Geordie Lane because he had to leave to attend a dinner date. But we thank him very much for joining us in the studio tonight. Make sure you head to his website, geordielane.com, to check out more about his music. I've had an extremely busy week this week attending films.
Yes.
And gigs. So I'm going to do something a little bit different.
Busy girl.
I'm a busy girl. I'm going to review 5 things in the next 5 minutes. Do you reckon I can do it?
You can do
it. It's like a review marathon or something. All right. So I went to a sneak peek screening this week of 2 of the films from the 23rd annual Alliance Francaise French Film Festival, which opened nationally from the 6th of March. So the 2 films that I saw were Early One Morning, which is De Bon Matin in French. I don't speak French, but I'm trying my hardest. Starring Jean-Pierre Darroussin. And I saw Delicacy. La Delicacy? La Delicacy.
Better than me.
Keep it in English. So,
that's brilliant.
And Delicacy stars, obviously, the beautiful Audrey Tautou. So, first up, Early One Morning. Jean-Pierre Darroussin plays Paul, a successful bank executive whose life, as we see in the film's quietly explosive and quite gruesome opening, has gone off the rails. Writer-director Jean-Marc Motto? I'm trying to do my little French accent here. Creates a complex psychological drama which shows Paul's seemingly perfect life falling apart as he discovers the darker side of the financial world. An incredible journey into the disposable world of finance, and an even more incredible journey into the mind of one of its employees. I give it 4.5 out of 5 kisses. Nice. Definitely see that one when the French Film Festival comes out on the 6th of March. Delicacy. La Delicatesse.
La Delicatesse?
No, it ends in an E.
Oh, okay.
La Delicatesse. A beautifully exquisite film about love, loss, grief, and starting all over again. After a fairy tale opening, a tragic event sees Nathalie, played by Audrey Tautou, Nathalie, distracting her thoughts by throwing herself into her work. Just when she's convinced she'll never find love again, an out-of-the-blue kiss to Marcus, played by Francois Demiens, a balding, toothless Swede, changes her life forever and leads us on a journey that is sure to leave you with a smile. I give it 4.5 out of 5 kisses as well. So make sure you do head along to the Alliance Francaise French Film Festival, which opens on the 6th of March, because those 2 films are incredible, and I think the rest of the festival will be as well. The album that I reviewed this week is called Melt, and it's by a band called Young Magic. It was released on the 14th of Feb under the Car Park Records label. I was instantly drawn to this album, feeling initially like it was a wave of musical freshness. I was sure that a 5 kiss rating was going to apply, but the more I listened to it, the less it gave me. It's a surprisingly cohesive work, considering that it was recorded in several different countries. 2 of the band's members are Australian expats, and 1 is a native Indonesian, and all have travelled to multiple continents. For me, though, the heavy use of reverb in the album gets a bit much, and perhaps it was a conscious production decision in an attempt to bind these diverse sounds into a textured whole, but for me, it got a little bit too much. The use of guitars are rare, but when they are present in the mix, they are processed to sound like part of the texture as opposed to corded instruments. The melodies are often pumped out by exaggerated synths, and the percussion mostly makes use of household objects, similar, I guess, to what Geordie was doing with coins, water jugs, mobile phones and alarm clocks, which is kind of cool. It is a really interesting album and one that I do recommend listening to, but for me, 1 or 2 listens was enough because a lot of the songs and the excessive use of reverb tended to make a lot of the tracks sound quite the same. I gave it 3 out of 5 kisses, though. It's certainly worth a listen. I have one more. I'll keep it quick. This is The Paper Kites.
I feel like we've got to rush everything. I
saw them play last night, and we heard their song just a second ago. Melbourne folk band The Paper Kites have just disembarked their first ever East Coast headline tour. And last night at the East Brunswick Club, I saw the final show of that tour, the Woodland Tour. This particular gig was actually an added extra due to popular demand after sold-out gigs in New South Wales, Victoria and Queensland, and they obviously were playing songs off their debut EP, Woodland. In my opinion, the Paper Kites are the kind of band you'd love to take home to introduce to your mum. Their music is polite, charming and tender, and especially moving in their slower songs. For me, though, there just isn't enough musical structure. With no real melodies, hooks, or really anything to grab onto, they've crossed their T's and dotted their I's, but for me, their politeness gets in the way of a good musical story. I give them 3 out of 5 kisses.
Oh, wow. Oh, well, you did a lot this week.
I did. Did I do that in 5 minutes?
I don't know.
And I even spoke French.
Yes, oui, oui.
Oui, oui.
Yeah, je parle français très bien.
Merci.
Merci.
Merci. All right, over to you, love. You're on the Kiss My Arse show with Kyle and Amy. Next, we've got Kylan's film reviews. Have you been busy this week, Don?
Yeah, I have been busy this week. Along with moving house, I did manage to squeeze in 2 films. First up, I've got My Week with Marilyn. And then after that, I'll be reviewing The Grey.
Oh, I went to see that this week.
Well, then so maybe I'll we can have a bit of a banter.
All right, take it away.
Alrighty, so the first one, My Week with Marilyn. It's 100 minutes. The director is Simon Curtis. Distributors Roadshow Films. Writers Adrian Hodges and the cast... Michelle Williams, Kenneth Branagh, Eddie Redmayne, Emma Watson and Judy Dench. Yes, set in 1956, this biopic film is based on the memoir, a little bit of French for me,
yeah.
The Prince, the Showgirl and Me by Colin Clark, who is the central character in the film. It regards his involvement with screen siren Marilyn Monroe and his brief connection with her time in London shooting the Laurence Olivier production of The Prince and the Showgirl. Now, Olivier is played by Kenneth Branagh and is renowned for his Shakespearean work, and Monroe, played by Michelle Williams, for her sexy siren beauty. But both initially clashed due to their acting methods, and soon a young man by the name of Colin Clark, played by Eddie Redmayne, begins to catch the eye of the 30-year-old Monroe, and the two begin an affair that causes gossip and antipathy amongst the crew on the film. Everybody wants a piece of Marilyn. However, what the film truly highlights is how Marilyn Monroe was controlled by outside influences and how people could both love and despise her, be it for her beauty, acting style, or persona. Michelle Williams' performance as Marilyn is overall wondrous. At first, I didn't know if the childlike manner in which she played Monroe was sincere and genuine. She comes across as rather ditzy and complicated, and I wondered if this was the way Monroe conducted herself in person. Sure enough, as the film progressed, Williams convinces the audience that Monroe was just as complex as she was beautiful. My Week with Marilyn is a simple but delightful film that takes us inside the life of one of the most unforgettable stars to ever grace the screens. I give it 3 out of 5 kisses. Next up, The Grey. You ready?
I'd love to hear what you think about this.
It's 117 minutes. The director is Joe Carnahan. Distributor is Icon Film Distribution. The writer is Joe Carnahan and Ian McKenzie Jeffers. The cast, Liam Neeson, Dermot Mulroney, Frank Grillo, and Dallas Roberts. Yes, very exciting stuff. Liam Neeson plays Otway, a professional wolf killer in which he protects miners in Chile, Alaska. The job title alone is pretty awesome, and when the miners finish their season, they fly back to civilization only to crash in the middle of nowhere. 7 men survive, and they find they are not alone. The big bad wolves are out to play, and it's up to Otway to help them find a way back home. Needless to say, the plot so far kicks ass. This is not an easy film to watch, especially when it comes to the wolf scenes. I was always on edge, and the wolves actually reminded me of Gamork, the evil werewolf from Neverending Story. Only like 100 times worse. I walked away questioning if Neeson was good enough as the lead, and I've decided it to be a nonplus performance. Some may find this film camp and funny, or like me, you'll find it yourself questioning how you would survive in this situation. There were times when I was rather meh about stuff, like the cliché characters the men assume. Surely, by now, writers can think of something different to involve, rather than an angry ex-con man with daddy issues amongst the group. I mean, come on. Essentially, this film regards who is the animal, man or beast?
Personally, I really like the film. It tests the limits of how man can handle survival. Well, you know that, and a pack of wolves chasing after you. In the end, this film will definitely be one for the lads, or for maybe the ladies who like blokey flicks. Please note, this is not a date film. I repeat, not a date film. There is nothing romantic about seeing wolves chomp away at humans, unless that is what you're into, then totally go see it. Yeah.
Ultimately,
I give it 2.5
oh, really?
Out of 5.
Well, I what did actually you think? Did see it on a date. with my girlfriend, and both of us were in tears because it. I mean, okay. There are moments in the film where it's actually really quite emotional, and there's a real intimate look into the personal lives. I mean, it is. It may be a blokey film at heart, but I feel like there's a lot of depth to it, and it really does bring up some issues about life and what the meaning of life
is. Yeah, it also incorporates a lot of male bonding, and the two scenes in there where the guys accept the fate of their death.
That's right.
It's just amazing.
And
to
what's
watch.
The tagline? It's like, I will live and die this day.
Yeah. Go to live or die this day.
Yeah, so yeah, it's all about sort of facing your fears and being okay with your own mortality. And exactly. I think that there's a lot of good morals in it. And I gave it 5 out of 5.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, so... Yeah.
I don't know. I thought the characters were just awfully cliche.
Yeah,
but anyway,
coming
out this week, guys, we've got a thriller by the name of Six Plots, The Contraband, an action thriller with Mark Wahlberg, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close with Tom Hanks and Sandra Bullock, Gone, a thriller with Amanda Seyfried, Killer Elite, which is an action film with Jason Statham, Clive Owen and Robert De Niro, which is actually shot here in Melbourne, Late Bloomers, it's a dramedy with Isabella Rossellini and William Hurt, and Tyrannosaur, which is a drama from director Paddy...
Directy?
Yeah,
is that French?
Why not? Paddy Considine. Next week, I'll be reviewing quite a few because there's some good films out. There's Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, Tyrannosaur, Contraband, and if I can get to it, Six Plots. But we'll see.
Busy week.
We're going to finish off the hour soon. Just a couple of ad breaks. What's the word I'm looking for?
CSA, sponsorships.
Sponsorships, and then we'll be right back.
Good evening, Melbourne. It's 4 minutes to the hour of 10. You're on the Kiss My Art show with Kylan and Amy Khan.
Be sure to head along to Sofia Coppola as well. The festival is going to be amazing. One of my favourite films of all time is in there, Lost in Translation. And also, be aware that the National Play Festival is happening on the 22nd to the 25th of this month as well. It's a festival that celebrates the excellence and ingenuity in Australian playwriting. And it's the fifth National Play Festival showcases the best new Australian plays to inspire playwrights, producers and audiences.
Sounds awesome. And don't forget, we've got the Between the Bays Festival this Saturday. Geordie Lane is going to be performing there along with Custard, the Ooga Boogers and a whole host of other amazing acts. I'm going to be there and I'll review it next week, but you can check out their website at betweenthebays.org.au for more information. Don't forget that I, A Man, are having their album launched this Friday night at the Northcote Social Club. We interviewed Dan and Ash, two of the guys from I, A Man, last week on the show. So don't forget that you can get along to their album launch this Friday for their amazing new EP. Next week on the show, we have an interview with Mark Burchett, who is one of the organisers for the Carnival of Suburbia, which is a music festival taking place in Melbourne in March. So we're speaking with Mark Burchett next week on the show. So make sure you tune in for that because that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so coming up next, we've got the Amazing Boys. They're from the Cubby House, doing their thing, being amazing. What can I say?
You could do a little dance.
Do a little dance.
Do it in French, even.
Actually, I came up, in the last 30 seconds of the show, I actually came up with a new tag that we can finish off.
Oh.
Yeah.
What is it?
It is... Hi, you've been listening to Kylan and Amy, and you can kiss
my ass. Jack Carty. Yeah. Oh, I've got to love Jack.
I really like that. So on the last 5 seconds, ready? You've been listening to Kylan and Amy, and you can kiss
my ass.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.